Well, welcome to our service of worship as St. Phil Road Presbyterian. It's great to have you join with us this morning. Now, although we can't gather and we can't even gather to live broadcast this, here's our pre-recorded service we've put together. It's from different homes, and I'm very grateful for all those who have taken part, those you'll see, those you'll perhaps just hear playing music, and those behind the scenes. And hopefully this will be a blessing for you. For children, there's a little something called Extra 20 Minutes. It's extra content on the website next to us, but there's a point in this service where if you want to pause and do that, like you might go out to Ark, or like we have our first 20 minutes, you can do that then, or you can wait and do that afterwards with your parents. There's going to be announcements now, and they're just going to roll in front of you for a couple of minutes. I'm not going to read them to you, so make sure you read them yourselves. Take note of the one about Storehouse particularly. We're not collecting any more, but please do give to food banks, and please consider giving financially to Storehouse. But here are the announcements. Well, let's begin by hearing God's word. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who do not put their trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Well, as we gather this morning, we probably all have clean hands on the outside, but probably none of us has a pure heart. And yet we can come before our great and holy God because of Jesus Christ, the true Lord, because he has come to bring blessing and salvation, forgiveness of sins and everlasting life to us. And so we gather to worship in his name. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you, the King of Kings and our Heavenly Father. We've gathered in our homes to worship you. We've come because we want to pray to you, to sing your praise, to listen to your voice. Lord, you always hear us. Help us to hear you now. Lord, we've come with hands that aren't clean, with hearts that aren't pure, with lives that aren't holy. And yet we know, Jesus, that you have lived for us and died for us and risen again. So forgive us and cleanse us and renew us, we pray. And set our hearts and our minds and our lips and our lives on you today and every day. Be among us now by your Holy Spirit, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realise where it had come from, though the servants that had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out their choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." The first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Amen.
Well, imagine you're at a wedding. All this social distancing is over and you're there at this big celebration. There's lots of people, lots of food, lots of drink. A wedding like the one we heard about in Jesus' day would have involved a lot of people. Probably the whole village would have been there. And it was the bridegroom's job to throw the party. Now, I was at a wedding once when the food ran out, and that was a bit awkward. Now, it wasn't in Northern Ireland. I've never been at an event that's knowingly undercatered here. It was in England. Enough said. But at this wedding that Jesus was at, the wine ran out. Now that's socially awkward, social shame, in fact, for the bridegroom. If he can't even provide for the party now, how is he going to provide for his wife and family in the future? It makes him look pretty inadequate. Well, after a brief chat with his mother, Jesus steps in to save the day.
At such a wedding, there would have been big jars full of water for ritual washing. Mark tells us in his gospel the Jews like to follow cleansing and ritual washing in the tradition of the elders. So they would wash themselves before they ate. And some of the Pharisees would have had other traditions about washing pots and pans and kettles and things. So a lot of ritual washing of themselves and other things went on. But hey, you and I know what it is to ritually wash our hands, don't we? Anyway, at this good Jewish wedding, there they would have had a lot of washing going on. Six big jars, probably bigger than this bin, would have been there for the washing of them. Probably each holding maybe 20 to 30 gallons, maybe 700 litres worth, six overflowing big baths of water were there. Presumably, by the time the wedding was in full flow, a lot of this water had got dirtier with people washing it, and a lot of it got splashed out here and there. So Jesus orders that these ceremonial jars, those washings that make people clean, are filled to the brim. And the stewards did that. And then he said to them, "Go and dip into the water and pull it out and take it to the master of the banquet." The guy who's like the boss of the stewards, a socially important guy at the wedding. So there were the stewards. And goodness knows what they were thinking they were going to be doing. But they headed over now to these jars full to the brim of this water that people washed in, and pots and pans had been washed in, and they dipped into the water. And they pulled out wine. And they took it to the master of the banquet, who, like everyone else, had no idea that this is something that Jesus had done. And he tasted it. And he went to the bridegroom, who also was ignorant and probably feeling pretty wicked and inadequate that things had run out, wondering what to do. And he said, "The master of the banquet to the bridegroom, this is brilliant. Wow. Everyone else is really tight and they serve up the best wine at the start. But hey, you save the bachelor till last.
Now, the first thing we can take from this is that it's John's way of announcing who Jesus is. We're told this was the first sign that revealed his glory. Here then is the chosen one, the promised one, bringing the feast that God had promised and prophesied. Listen to Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And here is the true bridegroom that we talked about the other week. He's in silent but stark contrast to the bridegroom in our story. That guy, probably a lovely guy, but he's actually pretty inadequate. He can't provide for the party now. He can't provide for his bride and family in the future. But here in Jesus is the one who has come and stepped into our inadequacy. He's come in love for us, his bride. And he's come to provide and deliver abundantly for his family, his people, all over the world, for our future forever. Here's Jesus to abundantly deliver the future for us, who, just like the bridegroom, we are in the story, not particularly deserving, contribute nothing to it, but reap all the benefits. Here comes Jesus then. His time has not yet come, as he says to his mother. There will be a significant moment on the cross when he will achieve it all. But here's the statement that Jesus is the man, our Lord, our bridegroom, the provider and the deliverer for his beloved, for his family, for his people forever. And the wine points to two things that he delivers for us. First, think about the contrast between the water and the wine. Here's the water, the probably dirty water used for ritual washing. And you had to keep on coming back again and again. It's a symbol of our uncleanliness, our inadequacy, and need to be made clean by God. But the point of the water is that you had to keep on coming back and doing it again and again and washing your hands and washing everything in it. It never made you lastingly clean before God. It never gave you any assurance that you were clean before God in and of itself. It was just a pointer to that need. In the same way that we're used to washing our hands now for coronavirus, and that's a really important thing to do, like the ritual washing of hands was, it doesn't actually give us any guarantee or assurance that we haven't got or we won't get the virus. Ritual washing with water was just a pointer to what needed to be done, to what needed to be lastingly done, to make us clean. And the dirty water, again and again, couldn't do that. Only one thing could. The Old Testament talks about wine as the blood of the grape. grapes have to be crushed to make wine. The water of ritual washing won't cleanse us, but the blood of Jesus, who was crushed for us, shed on the cross, that will lastingly do. Of even greater need for us to deal with than coronavirus is our sin. That has ultimate consequences. But here's Jesus showing us that he has come by his blood to deal with it once and for all, to make us clean and right with God once and for all. There's nothing else we need to do, nothing else we can do. Jesus has done it for us by his blood, out of love. And so when we come and drink at communion, that is what we are reminded of. That is what the Holy Spirit wants to assure us of again and again. That's why the Apostles' Creed also reminds us about the work of the Holy Spirit in assuring us of what Jesus has done for us. We say in those last lines, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe that sins need to be forgiven. We believe that Jesus forgives our sins by his blood shed on the cross. We believe that our sins are forgiven. Believe that. Trust in the one who gave his blood to forgive your sins. Well, that reminds me, we haven't said the Apostles' Creed yet. Let's do that together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The wine also reminds us of the great celebration that Jesus promises for our future, life in abundance enjoyed with him. By my calculation, Jesus makes the equivalent of about maybe 900 bottles of wine from those jars. That's a lot. That's abundant. That's a celebration, even for a small village. Like his over-catering at the feeding of the 5,000 when lots was left over, so Jesus produced again so much more than was needed. He steps into a situation of crisis and shame, and he doesn't just make do. He comes to richly bless. At that wedding feast, where things have gone wrong, Jesus is looking forward to and pointing forward to another greater wedding feast, his own, where things will all be right. It's a future that John picks up again when he writes Revelation. And in chapter 21 that we heard, we hear about a new, renewed creation, when the bride and the bridegroom will be together, God with his people, where there'll be no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more tears, when all the brokenness and confusion and uncertainty and fear and injustice and evil of this life is done away with. But it's a very real future where heaven and earth will come together and we will live in renewed bodies in a new creation, not floating on some cloud up there, What a once broken bodies. Then we'll be restored to glorious new bodies, just like Jesus' resurrection body. And with him, God is making all things new. So the abundant wine, the best wine saved till last, points to the future, that glorious future that we hold on to in strange and uncertain times, that sometimes we get a little taste of, but we'll have to wait to drink in fully. That future of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, life in all its fullness as it was meant to be lived. And as we come to the end of the Apostles' Creed, we recall that this is what God the Father planned before creation. This is what Jesus the Son came to bring about by his blood shed on the cross and his resurrection for us. And this is what the Holy Spirit is bringing about in us and in our world and assuring us of. So life may seem a little all over the place at the moment, but we can be assured of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let's drink to that.
Father, we draw very near to you this morning, bringing you our requests, confident and thankful that you will hear them. Lord, the world seems so fragile and vulnerable in so many ways at the moment, with the continuing movement of the coronavirus pandemic around the world. We pray for all those who are affected. We especially ask you to comfort those who are grieving and to heal those who are ill. We thank you for the dedication of the NHS doctors, nurses and other staff, and we ask that you will give them strength and wisdom in the coming days and weeks. We also ask that you will give the political leaders in the UK and Ireland and throughout the world and all those who guide and advise them wisdom and knowledge as they have to make the kinds of decisions they never thought they would have to make. As the coronavirus has now arrived in many developing countries with very fragile healthcare systems, we pray that you will prevent it gaining a foothold amongst such vulnerable populations. And Lord, we also pray for the scientists and researchers working on developing treatments and a vaccine. Please give them divine insight as they work to enable treatments and a vaccine to be developed, tested, and produced sooner than we currently think possible. We pray for all those in our church family and beyond who are isolating and feeling afraid. Bring your peace and comfort and presence to all our hearts and minds. We each take a moment now to bring those in our hearts and minds before you now. We thank you that, as Ben has reminded us through the Creed, that you will make all things new in the new heaven and the new earth, and that pain and sickness and tears and death will be no more, and we will be part of life everlasting. Thank you for your love for us poured out through Jesus. Finally, I pray that your blessing, protection, and peace over each one of us in the coming days, weeks, and months. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've been talking this morning about Jesus' blood shed for us, about the symbol of wine. Next week, we were due to have communion together. But let me encourage you to come next week when you sit at your living room or kitchen table and bring with you some bread, bring with you some kind of grape-based drink of your choice, or grapes too. Don't rush out and get that. It's not an essential, but something to drink. And we'll talk through in our homes, in our families, together. Jesus' body and blood shed for us. And eat and drink together. Bring that for next time. But now, may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore.